This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. This ayah will be the initiating ayah of every khutbah all around the world, probably for this week and the next week and maybe a few weeks afterwards as well. And then there's nothing that unites us as much as Ramadan does. Hajj comes as a near second. But Ramadan just does something different to all of us as an ummah, no matter where we are and whatever time it is. And this blessed month is an opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers us on an annual basis. On a yearly scale, we're offered this opportunity to figure things out again and to draw ourselves closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, He calls upon the hearts of His servants subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beginning of this month, and people just come. You see, when you work in a masajid in Ramadan, you see people that you've never seen before. You've never seen them before. They come and they fill the masajid throughout the holy month during Taraweeh and Jumu'ah and within the masajid. And it's not that we did a good job in bringing people in. This is the Malik al-Mulk subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the king of all kings, the king of hearts subhanahu wa ta'ala, who just calls the hearts of his servants and they come to him subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout this blessed month. And there's something about it that just is different. He says alayhi salatu wa salam, the hadith is in Imam collection Imam Tabarani and Bayhaqi and others, and it has an authentic chain narration where Jabir says, أَتَانَا رَمَضَانَ فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَتَاكُمْ رَمَضَانَ أو شهر رمضان شهر بركة يغشاكم الله فيه فينزل الرحمة ويحط الخطايا ويستجيب الدعاء فأروا الله من أنفسكم خيرا في رمضان فإن المحروم من حرم رحمة الله في رمضان. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, indeed Ramadan has come to you. It is a month of barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smothers you within it. He smothers you with his compassion and mercy, and he forgives sin, and he accepts supplication. So show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best of yourself within Ramadan. Bring your A game in Ramadan. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the one who is deprived is the one who is deprived the rahmah of Allah within Ramadan. Alayhi salatu wasalam would come in a hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad. He would come up the minbar. The minbar had three steps, alayhi salatu wasalam. Unlike this one, the steps were from in front. He would come up, alayhi salatu wasalam, three steps and turn around and speak to people. And he did it one day, a few weeks before Ramadan. He took up the first step and he said, Ameen. Then he took the second step and he said, Ameen. He took the third step, he said, Ameen. And the Sahaba asked him if this was now the sunnah. Should they be doing this as well? And he said, no. Alayhi salatu wasalam, Jibreel came to me and he made three ad'iyah. I'm not going to tell you all three, I'll tell you one of them. One of them was, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Jibreel, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ عَبْدٍ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانٍ فَدَخَلَ عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ خَرَجَ مِنْهُ وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ قُلْ آمِينَ فَقَالَ آمِينَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَجْمَعِينَ. He said, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ is a way of making dua against someone. You know, may they be humiliated. It's like, how could you? That's what it means in Arabic. Al-anf is your nose, raghima when it goes into the dirt. It's a very specific Arabic or linguistic phrase. It means, how could you? How could you enter Ramadan and it leave you? You actually live through Ramadan and not have your sins forgiven. May that person forever be humiliated. Say ameen ya Muhammad. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said ameen. Because it's impossible. You have to have worked really hard to make sure that you did not get forgiven in Ramadan. But before I talk to you about the Ramadanic plan, or we go through a little bit of what we should be doing in Ramadan, I'm sure that most of you, like myself, if not all of you, continue to watch with disgust and in awe of how people in probably one of the most rich areas in the world and resources are starving as you and I speak right now. They are being systematically starved after being ethnically cleansed out of the land that was already occupied 75 or such years ago, to the point where if they see a truck that has maybe food that they can use for their children, and they go to it and they get gunned down by one of the most merciless, ruthless, and moral bankrupt regimes that have existed on the planet, that continue to find support from the politicians that we voted in, that act like they represent us, which they do not. They do not represent us in any form or manner. We have nothing to do with them, and they will continue to be ostracized from our masajid and from our community until they admit. First of all, they have to admit the atrocities that they have supported, and they admit the moral failure that they have actually been a part of, and then we need others who will maybe show something a little bit better, and we will not accept anything less than that. And as we watch all of this, and it burns you on the inside to see it, because there's almost no tears left to cry, you wonder how bad can it get? Well, let me give you a little bit of a historical lesson today. It won't be too heavy in historical lessons, but let me just tell you three incidents that happened within our Islamic history so you understand exactly what we're looking at. In the year 317, a man by the name of Abu Tahir al-Qirmiti was one of the leaders of an extremely fascist, oppressive regime that built itself somewhere in the eastern part of the Arabic Peninsula, decided that in the year 317 Hijri, somewhere in the 9th Gregorian century, decided that he was going to raid Mecca al-Mukarramah during Hajj. So he did so, and he killed the Hujjaj in the thousands until the Sahn of the Kaaba was filled with blood. And he hit the Kaaba and he actually brought half of it down, and then he stole the Hajar al-Aswad and he held it somewhere for 22 years. You think this is bad? For 22 years, he held on to it. It took 22 years before the Muslims were able to bring their act together, and Asr ibn Ziyad al-Taghlibi was able to go and actually defeat them, remove them, and bring the Hajar al-Aswad or the remnants that was left of it and put it back in the Kaaba as we see it today. The Crusaders took over the Holy Land in the 10th century, or at the end of the first millennium. They took over the Holy Land. Not only did they murder everyone there and burn the Masajid and burn Al-Aqsa, but not only did they kill the Muslims who were there, they removed and killed the Jews who were living there too. And it wasn't just the Holy Land, it was parts of what today is Lebanon and Jordan, parts of Syria. And this went on for decades upon decades until 583, when Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi, Malik al-Hattin, that happened, by the way, in Ramadan, was able to go back and send them back to where they came from and reopen Masjid al-Aqsa and remove the animals that they had put there because they turned it into a barn and allow the Christians and the Jews and the Muslims to pray there again. Only less than 100 years later, the Maghul, the Tatar, would find their way through the old world, coming through Asia. And they would enter the Muslim Khilafah capital in Baghdad. And they would burn it to the ground, murdering the Khalifa al-Musta'sim Billah and killing everyone who was there. And going to Bayt al-Hikmah, which was the biggest library on earth at the day. And they would throw the books into Dajra and al-Furat, in the Euphrates. Until those two rivers ran either red with the blood of the Muslims or blue because of the ink of the books that they threw into them. And it was a couple of decades later until Qutuz and Zahir bin Baris in 658, also in Ayn Jalut, also in Ramadan, were able to remove them again. And if you want, I can spend the rest of this khutbah just telling you these little, giving you these nuggets and telling you what happened throughout our Islamic history. We've always found a way to rebound. We've always found a way back. We've always have. This is not the worst we've seen. This is not the worst we've seen as Muslims. Not even close. Wallahi, not even remotely close. This is not the end of time. Not even close. It's like that. You don't even notice. Your job is not to worry about when it's happening. Your job is to worry about what you're doing to prevent its coming. Your job is to worry about where you are within the historical curve of your ummah and what that's going to need from you. You see, every single story I told you, when the bad thing happened, the good thing happened a couple of decades later. So they went through a couple of Ramadans and Hajj afterwards where they were in a state of deep humiliation. I always ask, what was the year 318 like in terms of Hajj with no Hajar Aswad there? What was their Ramadan like? You think they weren't thinking that this was the end of time? No, they were. And I can actually prove that to you by pulling historical records that were written by scholars of that era talking about this being Armageddon and very soon the Dajjal is going to come. It didn't happen. It didn't happen in 583. Didn't happen in 658. Didn't happen in 1123. It didn't happen in 1348. It didn't happen today in 1449 either. We're not even close because our ummah is actually still quite large. And the number of Muslims who truly care about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their ummah is still there. This is not a good situation, as you probably already know, due to my spectacular pessimism. But the point that I'm trying to make for you is that this is not the worst that you have seen, not even close. We have rebounded from way worse and found our way back and brought back justice and righteousness to ourselves and the people who live with us. The potential is there. And Ramadan is what we're supposed to use as that spark. Ramadan is there to make sure, because most of these victories happened in Ramadan. And it was a generation or two later. You see, what happened was the musibah happened, and then a couple of decades later, it was reversed. Why a couple of decades later? Because whoever was around during that musibah was probably a part of a generation that didn't care enough. So you needed the next generation to grow up and care. And when they did, they flipped things around again. When they grew up and saw the reality of their ummah and decided, I'm not okay with that. And they made sure their voice, isn't that the story of his life, alayhi salatu wasalam? Someone who didn't have a voice and provided a voice for people who were oppressed. And the ummah has always found its way back. We've always found a way to bring back and revive our voice again as a nation. This is not a call for violence. This is not a call for, no, this is a call for each and every one of us to believe that we will have an impact in the future of our ummah. Now, I can't convince you of that if you don't have the tools to convince yourself of it. And if you can't, then I don't know what to offer you. I feel like I'm almost helpless in terms of helping you because I have nothing to offer. You have to believe that you have the potential to offering that impact and being the one person. Yes, living in this small city of London, Ontario, in Canada, somewhere far away where people don't even know exists to begin with, to know that there's a Muslim community there. Yes, amongst them will be some one person or two or three or 100 who will have that impact, who can actually be one of the sparks that will change the history and the future of this ummah. You have to believe that. You have to believe that you have that potential, and you have to believe that you have to be willing to work towards it. You have to be willing to work towards it. This is what we're missing. We're just missing that piece. Historically, we have all of the... This has happened many times before. Many times before. Don't waste time worrying about stuff you can't control. Worry about what is it that you can do. How can you make sure this does not continue to happen or happen again in the future? That's the only way to work historically. Again, I'm speaking from a lens of history. Sometimes whatever's occurring was put into motion decades before. You're just looking at the consequences of something that happened many, many years ago that you're not accountable for. It's just that it was going to happen. It was going to happen. It was put in motion many generations ago and people didn't care at a certain point. And now you're dealing with the results. But the question is, what will 40 years from today look like? That will depend on what we decide to do and how we decide to live our lives and what type of change we are actually going to bring within ourselves, within the communities that we live in. And I can't think of a better time or a better opportunity than Ramadan. So three times in 1 week, I was approached, and I hope the people don't feel bad about this, but I'll say it. Three times within 1 week, I was approached and told, Ya akhi, be a little bit more optimistic. Three times from three different people. So I said, all right, fair. If I didn't believe to my core that this ummah has the potential to turn things around, I wouldn't be standing here. I wouldn't be doing what I do in my life. I would have been somewhere else doing something completely different. But I believe with certainty to my core that this ummah has within it the potential to turn things around. And I believe that I have to be a force that is positive in that direction. And that's what I will be. But I cannot approach that at this historical curve by being someone who reminds you, you know, when you wake up in the morning and we have all our phones and then you put the alarm, and it's a nice little reminder, something that kind of just wakes you up nice and quiet. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to sound an alarm that should increase your heart rate and make you feel a little bit uncomfortable and have you walking out of here feeling upset about yourself, just like I do, because that is where we are. Historically, we're at a moment where the people, and if they actually want to see change, they have to actually make radical change in their lives. They have to feel the necessity of it. They have to feel how important and how dawning it is upon them to make the changes yesterday. This is not a slow, progressive graph of change. No, this has to be immediate, and it has to be huge in the numbers, and the quality of it has to be extreme if you actually want to see things be different. So I have to. Because the danger is huge. It's not about, there's nothing, whether you do, I have no horse in this race, whether you do it or not, or people listen to this or not, it doesn't make a difference for me. I figured out where I'm going. I'm going to go with you or without you, alone or with people. It doesn't make a difference. I'll do it and I'll die doing it until the day I meet Allah. It's for you, because Yawm al-Qiyamah, you're going to be held accountable. You're going to stand there and have to answer questions that maybe you weren't even aware you're going to be answering to begin with. It's not just the salah and the siyam and the zakah and the hajj and the family. What about what you witnessed? You were a part of the world, were you not? Huh? Were you a part of this ummah, were you not? Yes. What was happening? What did you do? How did you respond to that? If your answer is, I didn't do anything, that's going to be the problem. Yes, exactly. You didn't do anything. That's why you're standing here. No. See, I didn't do anything. Yeah, exactly. That's why you're here. Are you not understanding us? Yes, that's why you're here. Because you didn't do anything. Because there is no actual change. You witnessed the atrocities. You witnessed the oppression. You witnessed the aggressiveness. You witnessed all of this, the tyranny and the persecution. And then you continue to do the same. Where is the effect of witnessing that on your life? Why did it not change something about you? Why don't you say, okay, because of this? And I don't think even that's a good reason. I honestly think you should aim higher. It shouldn't be just for Gaza that we do have a better... Or for Palestine. No, it's beyond that. This is for the ummah. This is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who said, مَا خَلَقْتُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَبَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. I created this with haqq. And as long as there's no haqq, or there is zulm that is occurring, or batil, then things will continue to fail. It's your job to return it back to haqq again, and to live a life that personifies haqq in nature. And that's what we have to do. And that's what I'm calling you to. And the best time to do this, the absolute best time to do this, is Shahr Ramadan. There is honestly no better time. There is nothing even remotely close to what Ramadan can offer you. I am not aware of a real story of Tawbah that is not Ramadanic. Like, I'm not aware of it. I'm sure it happened, but I'm not aware of it. Any real story of Tawbah, someone who decided enough is enough. I'm not living like this anymore. I can't be a bystander. I can't live my life just focused on small things, just ignoring what's occurring and not have a voice and not have an impact. I have to live life to its fullest, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam lived it himself and those who were with him. That happens, that turning point occurs in Ramadan. It always has. That's why these battles that I shared with you are always in Ramadan, always. Because that's where it manifests itself. And that's what I think we should all be doing. Which is why I want to talk to you about a Ramadanic plan. This is why today I want to share with you maybe some things to think about in terms of planning for Ramadan. And then next week, inshallah, we'll talk about what that may look like. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ يَا فَوْزَ الْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. إخواني وأخواتي, أولئك الذين يجيدون التحدث بلغة القرآن لا يحتاجون إلى كثير تذكير ولا إلى وعظ ولا إلى نصح إذا ما أقبل عليهم شهر رمضان المبارك. فكل من يتحدث هذه اللغة بطلاقة أو بفصاحة نشأ في بلاد تعظم هذا الشهر الفضيل على ما في هذه البلاد من العيوب وعلى ما فيها من الظلم ومن الفساد, إلا أن شعوبنا ما زالت تعظم هذا الشهر وتكبر أمره والناس يعودون إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى بملايينهم إلى المساجد فيصلون ويبذلون جهودهم. لكنني أبحث عما هو أعظم من هذا كله. نحن الآن في لحظات تاريخية تكررت كثيرا في أمتنا، تكررت عبر التاريخ مرات كثيرة. هذه اللحظات التي ننظر إليها والتي نعايشها ونعاصرها، إذ المسلمون في أسوأ أحوالهم، مضطهدون، مظلومون، دماؤهم رخيصة، وأولادهم يجوعون، وبلادهم تنتهك حرمتها، وهم يشاهدون بعجز شديد. حدثت هذه الأمور مرات عديدة في تاريخنا، وفي كل مرة يجد المسلمون طريقهم للعودة إلى عزتهم، ويجدون طريقهم للعودة إلى دينهم وإلى أمتهم وإلى بلادهم وأوطانهم وإلى مروءتهم، يجدون طريقهم في كل مرة. ربما الأمر يتطلب عدة سنوات، ربما جيل على جيل أن ينصرف، فيأتي جيل بعده يدرك عظمة وقيمة العزة وقيمة الدين وقيمة المروءة وقيمة الاستقامة وقيمة الجماعة وقيمة أمتهم، فيعكسون ما قد نزل بهم من الذل ومن الهوان. وأريدك أن تنظر إلى نفسك على أنك إنسان سيكون له جهد في هذا التغيير القادم إذا أذن الله سبحانه وتعالى له. هناك مصائب تاريخية تطلب تغييرها ربما قرون، لأن الجيل المناسب لما يأتي، فلما أتى حصل التغيير. فإذا أردت أن تكون من الجيل الذي يحدث التغيير، ربما الأمر لا يحدث إلا بعد موتك. فكم من عالم وكم من سلطان وكم من مجاهد لم يرى حصيلة عمله، وأخذ النجومية إنسان بعده كصلاح الدين، فهو المعروف، وقد اندثر يعني نور الدين زنكي ومن أسس لهذا التغيير. فلا بأس عليك في حياتك أن تنظر في نفسك، ما الذي أريد أن أكونه في حياتي؟ جزءا من التغيير أم جزءا من بقاء الأمور على ما هو عليه؟ وإذا كنت جزءا من بقاء الأمور على ما هو عليه من الذل والهوان، فكيف أقابل الله يوم القيامة؟ وما الذي أقوله له؟ وكيف أدافع عن نفسي وأدافع عن أفعالي وعن أموالي وعن أعمالي وعن أفكاري وعن أوقاتي التي عشتها إذا لم أكن جزءا من التغيير، ولم أجند نفسي ولم أخلص نفسي لله سبحانه وتعالى علما وعملا. I honestly wanted to go through the pieces of the Ramadan plan, but I'm not. I'm going to do this next week, even though that's not what I had planned initially, because I really think it's important that you know why you're doing things. And maybe this is the first part of the Ramadanic plan, which is always reviewing your intention. Every time we talk about a Ramadanic plan, I point out the importance of intention. Number one is always intention. And maybe everything I'm doing today is just that piece. It's just, why are you going to do this? Why are you going to fast Ramadan, and why are you going to pray Taraweeh, and why are you going to be a part of this whole month? It's beyond just doing the ritual. It's beyond just starving during the day and then staying up a little bit late at night. It's with the intention of things being different afterwards. It's the intention of, I want to be a different person. And the way I've been living my life is not how I want to live it. I know I can do better and I have to do better. Today we have to do better. It's no longer an option. It's no longer something that I can gently massage into our brains. No, we have to do it. We should have done this a while ago. Because we didn't, this is what's occurring across the globe. Because we didn't, because we were late, in my opinion, because I was late at figuring out what I was going to do in my life. Because I don't have the proper impact that I should, because I'm not actually being a better person or helping others be better people, that this is what's happening. That there are children that are starving to death. They're dying. They carry your names and probably even your last name and last names as well. There's no difference between all of us. As an ummah, as a human race, Islam, when it finds prevalence and when it finds its spot in the world, not only does it bring khayr to the Muslims, it brings khayr to everyone else as well. It brings khayr to everyone, regardless of their cultural, ethnic, or political background, which is why we have an ethical obligation to live our deen and to work towards its success. And even if that means that you spend your life working in some small corner called London, Ontario, trying to strengthen that small little community and unite it and bring khayr to it, then that's what you do. And that's what you do. That's your little piece of the puzzle. It's not visible from afar. But the one who's looking at the puzzle knows that it's there. The one who actually the one that you're doing it for, he knows your piece of the puzzle. He sees it. He's very happy with it. He sees it well. Don't worry. It's recorded. It's not going to be forgotten. It doesn't have to be something worthy of breaking news on international outlets. Something small. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ taught us. teach us that sometimes the person that you don't notice, sometimes the person that you don't know anything about, the person that no one even cares about or takes any recognition of, is the person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the biggest reward yawm al-qiyamah. Because of that intention they had in their heart and the work that they did. They did the best they could within the limitations of, within the capacity they had, within their limitations. They did the best they could. They put everything that they had towards serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and serving their deen, and serving themselves, and serving their nation, and serving the people around them. And that's what I think we should do for Ramadan. We should make that intention nice and clear. Spend the next week thinking about your intention. Why should I be different? Why should I turn things around? Why should I make this Ramadan a turning point for myself? Why? Why should this Ramadan be a turning point for me? Well, I'll never go back to how I was before. There's a million reasons. Figure out the one that makes most sense to you. So you can plan out the month, and then inshallah, when we walk out of it, or as we go through it, we put ourselves on a path to strengthen the status of this nation of ours, so that what's happening in Gaza today does not happen ever again. I am, though, quite disappointed at the end of this khutbah of how we've settled down quite a bit when it comes to advocacy, despite the fact that what's happening is still happening, probably on a larger scale than it was in October and November. And I talked about this in October and November, and I talked about it a couple of times, and I said, look, the problem is with the graph. People, they chronicize problems. They know if they do it long enough, people lose interest. Because they know that people get very upset early on, and then if you drag it out 6 weeks or 7 weeks, people lose interest, which is where we are right now. I'm quite disappointed with how we've responded to this as an ummah, at this part of it, at least, within the last month. There's been a lot of passivity, and people have kind of slowed down, even though the amount of death, the amount of ethnic cleansing, and the starving that we're seeing right now, the systematic starvation that people are going through has not slowed down. It's still occurring. It's horrible. It's horrible on every level. I cannot understand how the world is okay with any part of this whatsoever. But I think we have to revise a little bit in how we've approached this. And I think those who are enthusiastic at the beginning have lost that enthusiasm. Should bring it back. Bring it back as a part of your intention of being better within this month of Ramadan. And allowing Ramadan to be the turning point for all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to reach Ramadan and for us to use Ramadan as our turning point within our lives. Allahumma ameen. I hope that was a benefit to you. وَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المرابطين في المسجد الأقصى وما حولها اللهم رده إلينا في العاجل القريب يا رب العالمين اللهم أخرج الصهاينة منه أذلة صاغرين اللهم فرج عن أخواننا المستضعفين في غزة وفي فلسطين وفي السودان وفي غيرها من بلاد الأرض يا رب العالمين اللهم بلغنا أجمعين شهر رمضان وفقنا فيه إلى الصيام وإلى القيام وإلى غض البصر وحفظ اللسان وتب علينا اللهم أجمعين فيه توبة نصوحة طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وردنا أجمعين إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون إن شاء الله I will put up for you the Ramadan sessions that are occurring throughout this weekend and next weekend. For please bring your kids out and attend them and find benefit inshallah in these sessions. أقم الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا